All right, here we go. Another Sunday. We're getting down to it. I hope all of you all had a nice Thanksgiving and a good first shopping weekend of this holiday season. It's getting up. It's getting feeling like holidays. It's cold outside. Temperatures in the 40s. Obviously, it's going to get colder this week here in Philly. Obviously, you know, all the Eagles contenders played on Thursday with pretty much decent results. So we have to keep our head going today. Big matchup later on that we'll obviously get to. But like I said, it was an interesting holiday week. And here we go into another Sunday, last Sunday in November. So, you know, it's getting critical. And a lot of teams thinking about the postseason on that bubble. Well, you know, obviously, will their bubble burst soon? We'll see. But we're not to that point yet. But teams are obviously putting themselves out there. No unanimous picks this week, so we got to do our shotgun no huddle. So we got several games to go as quickly as we can. The first one is our favorite quarterback, Tommy DeVito. Yeah, good fellas, man. Here we go. I'm going to play today. I'm going to play today. Home game, buddy. They're hosting the Patriots. And this would normally be a sexy matchup, but these are the two worst teams in the league right now, or at least one of them are, and it's not very good. So go ahead to it as quickly as you can.
All right, yeah. Well, I mean, the only thing I'll say about this Sunday, this is a really weak Sunday for just in general for games. I know we had four games already played, but it's weak, man. It's weak. And those four games that were already played, those weren't necessarily good matchups either. So it's just a poor week, I'd say, for football in general. But there are some decent games. This one's not a decent game. This is two awful teams and not even worth even talking about. I'll just give you a score. New England, 26-10.
Well, like I said, I mean, Belichick's coming off of a bye. Normally that's a good thing, but this is the worst Patriots team he's had since his first season up in New England, and they're projected to only win five games this year. The Giants are coming off a big win, their biggest win of the season to this point, as far as what they've done. But you know, this is not a very good matchup. I mean, I've been back and forth on who would win this game. I'll actually pick the Giants because I just think the Patriots are bad. They are starting Mac Jones today. That's been a debate all week between him and Bailey Zappe. You know, and unfortunately, like I said, I don't know if they made the right decision or not. At least the Giants know who their quarterback is. They're not going to go anybody else. DeVito, even though he's not that great a quarterback, at least he's the best option they have, and they can stick to it no matter what. So I'm going to go with the steady hand and go with the Giants in the final score, 20-17.
Okay.
All right, we're going to continue. Obviously, Carolina and Tennessee is next. Carolina, the worst team in football with the worst record. Tennessee at home. Things are not going well for them either. They've been struggling. Two more struggling teams going at it here.
Yeah, another game not even worth getting into. I'm not. Who cares? Let's be honest. So, you know, I think somehow Bryce Young, he hasn't been good this year. But I think this week he's going to actually have a good week. And that's going to be enough to get Carolina a victory over another rookie quarterback. So I'm just going to give it to Carolina, but it'll be close. I'm going to say 23-20.
Yeah, not much of a lot to think about. You know, Carolina is just not a very good team, and obviously Tennessee is a team heading in a different direction probably after the season. Will Levis is impressed enough. This game is in Nashville, so I'm going to go with the home team here. I just think that Carolina is just not a very good team. Frank Reich got a bad situation. He thought things were going to be better moving away from Indy. It's not. This team is just terrible and dead, and you know, just not a good situation for him. And obviously Tennessee's no better. So I'll go with the Titans and the final score 26-18.
You know, maybe it's not that it's a bad situation for him. Maybe it's just he's not this great coach that everyone thought he was. You know, I mean, he was terrible last year. That team was an embarrassment. Now he's on another team with the number one overall draft pick at quarterback, and that quarterback's terrible, and the team's just as bad as the Colts were last year until he got fired. Maybe it's more he's just not a head coach.
Yeah, well,
at some point you got to stop making excuses for people. They either got to perform or not.
Well, he thought the grass would be greener elsewhere, but obviously going from one racing town to another, but unfortunately the grass is more browner in NASCAR country than IndyCar country that he came from.
Yeah,
well, maybe I'll take him to a race next year when he's looking for another job.
Yeah, we'll see. He might he may be gone after this year, maybe not, but you know, it may end up he may end up back here as the Eagles offensive coordinator if Brian Johnson ever gets a head coaching job in the next couple of years.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll continue with the huddle. Obviously, we're now in Arizona in an NFC West battle. The Rams are coming off a surprising win against the Seahawks, a playoff contending team. Obviously, Arizona has brought back Kyler Murray, and it's gone well for them. They are much more competitive, even though Arizona hasn't been the worst team in football this year, but at least they have a good chance to win some games now with Murray, but an interesting matchup here.
Yeah, well, when you look at like Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, they've been competitive all year overall, more competitive than we thought they'd be. And like you said, Kyler Murray is back. He was great 2 weeks ago. Last week he kind of came back down to earth. I think what we saw last week out of him is more what we're going to see the rest of the season. The Rams, on the other hand, they got issues, but they do still have talent. And last I saw, Cooper Kupp is probably playing. We'll see. He is playing today.
I got word he is playing today.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, he keeps getting injured. I mean, he might be at the end of the line for his career, but you know, with him and Puka Nacua out there, I think the Rams have enough to win by maybe 10 points today. So I'm going to go with the Rams with a final score of 27-17.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is not a lovely matchup, but with Kyler Murray back in the lineup, the Rams they're just a dead team. I mean, you know, I mean, even though they won their last 8 games in Glendale, at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I just think that at home, they're, you know, I can trust Murray a little more than I can trust Stafford at this point in his career. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals to pick up another victory. The final score, 27-23.
Okay.
We got one more game in the no huddle thing, and that is Indianapolis hosting your Buccaneers, your hometown Buccaneers.
Yeah, two teams that are not going to make the playoffs. So, again, not really any point in getting too much into them. I'm going to go with Indianapolis. I just think they're the better coach team. That's really all I got. So, I'll go with the Colts. In a close one. I'll say 26-23.
Once again, we disagree. I just think that when I look at Baker Mayfield, I mean, yeah, he's not no great quarterback, but he's not been the worst quarterback this year. So, obviously, Tampa Bay is a team that still has an outside chance to win the NFC South. They're right there, only a game behind. It's not that it's over or done with. Obviously, we're going to preview the Saints and the Falcons are playing each other today coming up, but I'm going to go with your adopted hometown team here. I think they'll pull it off here on the road with the final score, say 30-27.
Okay. I mean, it might not be over for them for this season, but they're not going anywhere, man. Let's face the facts.
All right, so that's the shotgun no huddle there. All right, now we get back into the traditional matchups, and we'll start – obviously, we'll start with the Monday night game first, because it's not a sexy matchup. We'll start with the Monday night game. Obviously, you know, not a lot to really look into here. The Bears are obviously a team that, you know, got all these primetime games. It's almost insulting at the primetime games they've gotten this year. The amount of primetime games, unless they really like Justin Fields, maybe they do. But he is in the lineup. He came back to the lineup last week and played pretty decent. Though they blew it at the end. They choked that went away from Detroit. Obviously, Minnesota is a team that's been on a roll the last several weeks. They won their last five before they sadly took the L in Denver, but they nearly won that game as well. Obviously, Minnesota is a big matchup. It's one of your picks for the week. So, critical matchup here for Minnesota as Detroit's starting to leak a little oil. And if they keep leaking a little oil, this division race could come back in the Vikings' favor. So, interesting matchup here, a critical matchup as the Vikings continue their improvement as they continue to get better. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like you said, man, Motor City up there they're leaking some oil out of that motor, man. But this one, you know, I'd say, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I got five games that I would consider somewhat decent, and really the only reason I have something for one of these games is because it's my lock of the week, and this isn't it the lock of the week, but this is one of my picks from Wednesday. But either way, I mean, the Bears suck. Let's be honest, the Bears are awful. Justin Fields is back. He's a stiff. He'll never be a good quarterback in this league, and the Vikings are in the hunt for the division. So the Vikings win this one easy. I think the spread when I made the pick was, what, 2, 3.5. I don't know what it is now, but they're going to easily cover that 3.5. Vikings win, final score, 31-16.
Well, obviously, Josh Jobs has been an interesting story this year. I mean, he obviously has helped keep the Vikings in the hunt after Kirk Cousins' injury. And like I said, I mean, Justin Jefferson returns to the lineup, and that's going to be a big plus. If Josh can keep up with them and put chemistry there, then the Vikings are a dangerous pass threat. They're going to be a dangerous offense down the stretch. The Bears, I can say they're competitive. I mean, they've been competitive under Justin Fields this year, but, you know, like I said, he's coming off of injury, and that team is just not that great. And this is a very critical matchup for the Vikings, because they know that Detroit's starting to have issues here, and they play them two of the last 3 weeks of the season, which could make that NFC North very interesting. So when you're looking at it and situational-wise, this is a critical matchup, and the Vikings need to put it together here. So Vikings will go out there and win. I mean, obviously you picked this as one of your picks for the week. I know it's not your lock of the week, but like you said, it's one of your picks. I see the Vikings win in a tight one. I'll give it a tighter matchup than you would do. So I'll go with the Vikings and the final score, 27-20.
Okay.
All right. Patrick Mahomes is next, and normally they would be a later put on our list, but things have not gone well for the Rocket and his offense over the last several weeks. That was well exposed on a Monday night as the Eagles came from behind to beat them on the road, finally beating Big Red. But one of the big reasons is because the Chiefs have the worst second-half offense in the league this year. They've scored the least amount of points of any team, 53, and that's not going to cut it. And obviously, they're playing the Raiders team that has a little more momentum. Remember, they made a head coaching change a few weeks ago. Antonio Pierce's deal, and he's done a very good job with making this team look like a contender. Could the Raiders make an upset? Could they actually beat the Chiefs today? Or can the Chiefs keep their number one seed and keep them as the top contender in the AFC? But obviously, vulnerability is starting to show, and right now the Chiefs wouldn't even be in a home field going into the postseason. So a critical matchup here in the West. Raiders can put the Chiefs in a bigger bind going down the stretch. So big matchup here today in the West. Go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, you mentioned that the Chiefs have the worst second half offense in the NFL, but what you didn't mention is they've been shut out in the second half of each of the last three games. So not just the Eagles game, but it's starting to become a trend for them. Maybe it's Andy Reid not making proper halftime adjustments. Maybe it's the team, but whatever it is, they got to fix it quick. And Vegas, yeah, like you said, Antonio Pierce, he's come in, he's given this team new life, and they're playing well. And they still technically have a shot at making a run for the playoffs. They're not going to make it, but they're playing hard for them. But there's a couple things that are really going to go against the Raiders today. One is Mason Crosby is listed as doubtful, which I'm going to assume he's probably not going to play. I mean, you're talking about 10.5 sacks the guy's got this year, and they need somebody that's gonna they need guys to pressure Patrick Mahomes. So that's gonna hurt. On top of that, even though the Chiefs have such a bad second half offense, they have an elite defense this year. They're ranked in the top four of in total defense, scoring defense, and passing D. And they're going up against a quarterback in Aiden O'Connell, who's a rookie, who's, let's be honest, not a good quarterback. I mean, that's gonna hurt, man. That's gonna hurt the Raiders. Lastly, they got recent history on their side too, the Chiefs do. They've won 15 of the last 17 against the Raiders, So, I mean, that's beyond just a trend. That's just they own the Raiders lately, and that's gonna continue. KC's gonna get the victory. I want to say it's going to be close because I like Antonio Pierce and I think he's going to be a good coach in the NFL when he gets his shot. But I think this is going to be a rough one for the Raiders. So I'm going to go with Chiefs final score 31-13.
Well, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here today. I mean, like I said, the Chiefs, they have an issue. Their offense is not very good. And I just don't know what's wrong with this team all of a sudden. I mean, I think the Eagles got lucky that their second half weakness got exposed. And that obviously helped because I think the Chiefs would have won the game if they didn't have if they had one more better weapon. And I just think that they know that too. But like I said, I mean, obviously we can't fault the fact that the Eagles are obviously the best team in the league right now. But the Chiefs are still there. They're still a threat. And I still think they'll win the division. And obviously, they could pretty much still get the one seed. But now that's up in the air because they don't have the one seed going into this weekend. So this is critical for them to win this game. Now, you mentioned Mason Crosby has an injury and may not play today. That obviously will help the Chiefs maneuver. They did run the ball very well, and they're not even a very good rushing team, but they ran the ball very well against a shockingly the best rushing offense in the rushing defense in the league. Like I said, the Raiders, we'll see what happens here today. Like I said, I think the Chiefs will win, but you're giving a lot more credit to the Chiefs than they deserve. I don't think it's going to be a blowout as you're predicting. I think it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a slugfest. Even though the Chiefs have owned the Raiders in the Mahomes era over the last several years, at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think they win this game, and it will be a battle. It will be a close battle. So I'm going to go with Kansas City and the final score, 24-22.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go to a very critical matchup, maybe the most critical matchup of any game today. And it's not a game that's big on people's lists, but it's very important because the battle for the battle to make the playoffs in the NFC could be determined by this potential result down the road. The Saints are coming off of a bye. Both the Saints and the Falcons are both coming off of byes, but they're back in the mix today in a critical game that obviously whoever wins has the key to potentially win the division. The Saints obviously have struggled on the road this year. And then obviously the Falcons have obviously struggled offensively. They're having quarterback issues. Heinicke got hurt. Desmond Ridder been benched, but Desmond Ridder is starting today. and we'll see what happens. Carr's had injury issues himself, but he is in the lineup today. So an interesting matchup here and a critical matchup for this division and potentially the NFC playoff picture down the road. So interesting deal. Go ahead.
I mean, let's put it like this, man. Maybe it's a critical matchup in terms of who's going to win the division, but it really means nothing. It means nothing to what actually happens come playoff time, because whoever wins this division is going to get their asses kicked in the first round. You know, it's like being king of the dipshits. You know, it means nothing other than you're better than a bunch of other nobodies. So let's be honest, this isn't a good game. I don't have anything written up. I'm just going to give you a score. I don't even want to give this game any of my time. So I'm going to say, I'm going to go with the Saints. Final score, 24-18.
Yeah, this is an interesting matchup. I mean, obviously, for the Falcons, they're starting Desmond Ridder, and unfortunately, you know, they're not happy about that because he's had a lot of injury, had a lot of turnover issues, and that's why they benched him for Heinicke, but Heinicke got hurt, and now he's out for a little bit, and they bring Ridder back into the fold. Like I said, for Ridder, this is the most important game of the season for him, because if the Falcons make the playoffs and win this division, he's going to have to be the reason why. He's going to have to not turn the ball over, and he's going to have to get his receivers involved. He's got the receivers. He's got Kyle Pitts. He's got one of the best runners out there in Bijan Robinson. Unfortunately, he had a disappointing rookie year to his standard, to what we expected. But like I said, he has to do what he has to do here. And we'll see what happens here. The Saints, obviously, they're a team that obviously can get going, but Derek Carr has to stay healthy. He has struggled with his health all year. And if he can't stay healthy, then Saints aren't going to win this division either. So, I mean, obviously Tampa Bay would be the other option, but they have to get going too. None of the teams in the South are any good. You're absolutely right. You know, it's a one and done. So there's only going to be one spot for them, and they'll probably be one and done. But at the end of the day, you know, who do I trust in this matchup? Well, we'll go with the Saints, you know, but being on the road, even though they've struggled there in Atlanta lately, but I'll go with the Saints here, and the final score, 27-19.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go to another interesting matchup, and obviously, this should be a very interesting matchup. For a while, it was going to be my game of the week, but I've changed my mind on it. It's not my game of the week, but I don't know if this is going to be your lock of the week, but it's a critical AFC North matchup, and Jake Browning has the tough task to keep the Bengals in the postseason hunt. Jake Browning will be the 50th different starting quarterback in the league this year. I'm not joking about that. There are 32 jobs in the NFL. He will be the 50th quarterback to start a game this year. So take that for whatever it is. But he gets the opportunity to keep the Bengals in the mix. They play the Steelers. And the theme about the Steelers this year has been the unusual. What is unusual is they made a change in coaching. And they haven't done that in 82 years. To fire a coach during the regular season, any position, for the offensive coordinator. They have been outgained in every game this year. Will that streak continue or will that streak end? Two teams that are in different situations from what they were a few weeks ago. But a critical matchup in the North as a playoff spot could be very much at stake here going forward. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this is one of my other pick from Wednesday. It's also now my lock of the week. I had another game picked for lock of the week, and this morning when I was looking into it, I felt this one more. And so I made a couple changes. You know, I made this one my lock of the week. The other game that I took, that I had as my lock of the week, I changed in Kwame's suicide pool. I changed to that one. So I will mention it when we as we go along. But like I said, man, on Wednesday with that suicide pool, I needed to pick something, a team that I'm not gonna pick the rest of the year because there's just not that many great matchups that I wanted to mess with, like say the Eagles or the Bills or something, that the team that I haven't used up yet. But for this one, this is my lock of the week here. Pittsburgh's given up two. I mean, dude, you're talking about Jake Browning starting at quarterback. He's horrible. He's not gonna do anything. That Pittsburgh defense is tough, and especially their pass defense. And when you talk about Cincinnati's running game, if they wanted to try to relieve some pressure off of Browning, this is the 30th ranked rushing offense in the NFL. Joe Mixon, he hasn't hit 100 yards in a game this year. He is averaging about 4 yards per carry, for what that's worth. It's still not anything special. That's average as you're gonna get. And then you talk about Pittsburgh and their offense. It hasn't been good this year, but I think things are going to start to change. Like you said, Matt Canada's gone. That rushing offense the last 3 weeks, it has gone for 543 yards in three games. Now Kenny Pickett's been bad, but this is going to be just like the Bills last week. Just like the Raiders 2 weeks ago when they fired McDaniels and when the Bills fired Ken Dorsey. You know, you get that fresh blood in there when the team has pretty much given up on their coach, whether it's the coach or the offensive coordinator or whatever. You get that fresh blood in there and there's some extra energy. And it's going to be the same, man. I think Pittsburgh's going to come out and have a really big game. I think Kenny Pickett's going to be good. Like I said, they're only giving up 2 points against Jake Browning. Dude, I'll take Pittsburgh all day. This is my lock of the week. And one last thing here, they got 6 wins on the year. All 6 wins have been by 8 points or less. But this one, they're gonna win by more than one score for sure. I'm gonna say final score is 29-10, Pittsburgh.
Well, it's not going to be as easy as your prediction. I mean, when I look at the situation, I mean, both of these teams have gone through a lot this year. Obviously, the Burrow situation is now put to bed, unfortunately, in the wrong way. He's done for the year. So basically, we'll see if Jake Browning can keep the Bengals in the postseason hunt. But it doesn't look that great from what I saw against the Ravens. He took a lot of sacks in that game, but he's gotten a full week to prepare, and now he's going to get the opportunity to start. We'll see what he's capable of doing. And like you said, I mean, it's going to be interesting about this deal. It's going to be very, very, very interesting because obviously it's very unusual for them to fire a coach. But Matt Canada obviously has not been a very popular guy in that on the field or in that locker room over the last several weeks, and it seemed like it was a unanimous decision to get to send him packing, and we'll see what happens here. I mean, we'll see. Kenny Pickett, unfortunately, may not be having a good year, and you could say it could be Canada's fault for how he's played, but he has to be more protective of the ball. He has a lot of turnovers. He's the fourth most turnover-prone quarterback in the league this year, so he's got to be more protective of the ball and get things done. Like I said, you're picking a blowout on the road. But remember, this is not the Steeler teams of Big Ben and the great defense of the 2000s or like 2015 or something when they were that elite team. Pittsburgh is not on that level anymore, and they're in the playoff mix, but they're not on that level. They're like the AFC South. They're a one and done team if they get in there right now. So at this point, I'm going to pick the Steelers, but I think it's going to be a battle. I think that Cincinnati will prove themselves. They'll prove themselves to a degree to be a factor, or at least try to be a factor in this game. But I'm going to go with, but like I said, I agree with you. I think the Steelers will win. They'll win comfortably, but it won't be a blowout. I think it's going to be a battle for at least three quarters. So the Steelers will win. And the final score, I'm going to say 23-16.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see it being a battle at all, man. But we'll see. We'll see. You never know. That's why they play the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, you're doing better with the bets than I am this year. You're doing picking better bets than I have.
barely though. All four of us are in a close battle right now. So this could one of us. If I go 0-2, I'll probably be out of first place.
Yeah, John did well on two. You know, he picked a game that won this on Thursday. You know, he obviously is. He's been nipping at your heels, and obviously Kwame's done a damn good job in staying with the sticking at home with the Eagles. He's not afraid to pick them, and it's helped them get back into this as well. So
yeah, well, the Eagles have won him a lot of games, and with John, man, we'll talk about the other game that he's got picked, but for me, I think he's going to go 2-0 this week.
Yeah, he's done a damn good job. He's done a good job. I mean, smart football guys. I mean, I thought I was a smart guy this year, but I've taken sad L's to this point. But anyway, now I'm going to pick a matchup that I did pick, and this is my game of the week. This is my game of the week. But like I said, of course, cross my fingers that it wins. I picked the Denver Broncos outright to beat the Browns. Browns are obviously playing really good football, despite their quarterback being gone. But luckily for them, their defense is so good that they don't have to worry about the quarterback position. They just have to worry about just winning games and not messing up. But this is a critical matchup. Denver has obviously been on a hot streak here, winners of their last four, and looking really decent, on especially on the defensive side of the ball. They've given up the second least points during this streak, and things are looking pretty good for the Broncos and Peyton and company. But obviously, we'll see what happens here today. This is a critical matchup for this team, and obviously, we'll see what happens. But this is my game of the week and one of my picks for the week. We'll see if Denver can continue this streak as they make this unlikely push for a potential wild card spot in the AFC, while the Browns are currently the top team in the wild card AFC. We'll see if they can play good enough.
Hey, yo, man. Yo, I don't know what's going on with your phone.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Now I can, yeah.
All right, I had it a little low, my bad. We'll see what happens here today, but a critical matchup for both of these two teams as far as the AFC playoff picture. Go ahead.
All right, well, like I said, you know, this was going to be my lock of the week. I changed it this morning, but I also changed our suicide pool to the team that I'm picking for this game because I just think well, really, I just need to get a win. Right now, I'm in first place in our suicide pool. And I'm just trying to get through this week so that I can start picking some better teams. You know, I still have got teams like Houston, Philly, Buffalo, Jacksonville, I think I still have. So I got a number of teams I can still pick, but I just didn't like the matchups that they had this week. So I'm trying to get through with a lesser team. And when we talk about this game, we're talking about, like you said, a Browns team with Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback. Their defense has obviously been top of the line, number one in the NFL, one of the best defenses that we've seen in a long time in the NFL. Number one in the NFL pass defense, number one in total defense. And that's great. That's going to keep them in any game overall. But they're also going to be missing Denzel Ward at cornerback this week. That's not going to help them either. You know, and then you get into Denver, they're coming in here hot. They're on a four-game winning streak. Russell Wilson has been playing really well. Sean Payton has that team, that offense, and especially playing at a pretty high level. The defense, though, they've turned it up the last three games. You know, earlier in the year, they were an embarrassment. You know, they left 70 points to the Dolphins. But the last three games, they've been a lot better. And you look at the takeaways. They've had their defense has 12 takeaways in the last three games, and they're going up against Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And as good as that Browns defense might be, Denver will get some points on offense on their own. But then you factor in that there's probably going to be a number of turnovers, and that Denver's offense is going to have short fields. Dude, I think Cleveland's in trouble today. So this was going to be my lock of the week as Cleveland, or not as Cleveland, as Denver. I pivoted back to Pittsburgh, but I do have the Denver in the suicide pool today. I actually, coming into today, I had New England. I had New England in the suicide pool. I was going to try to get by with that one, but I switched it to Denver. So I am taking the Broncos. Final score is going to be 23-9.
Well, we'll see what happens here today. This is a critical matchup. Obviously, Denver, things are going well. I mean, of course, nobody's going to let that 70-point defensive destruction let it go. I mean, it is embarrassing, but like I said, it seems like in this league, especially in this league, you can have one big meltdown, but as long as you learn from it and get better from it, you won't be as embarrassing down the road as it was. And that's something Denver has obviously learned from. They've learned from that. And they're nowhere near that anymore defensively. But still, this is a team that still has a long way to go. They want to make the playoffs. They think they can make the playoffs. It's going to be tough from where they're at because 1-5 start is not easy to come back from, but they somehow returned to the 500. And they can go above 500, which would be remarkable as well. And like I said, obviously, things are going well for Russell Wilson. Only 19 touchdowns, only 4 picks this year. That's pretty damn good. The best touchdown interception ratio in the league. So he's not making that many mistakes. He's playing like his old Seahawks self. And obviously, Sean Payton has gotten a hook on this team the way he wants it. And this is a game that obviously will have big implications. Like I said, the Browns currently is in the fifth seed in the AFC. They want to stay there, but obviously there's guys behind them that can make a move. And so this is a critical game for them to stay in that top AFC wild card spot. But at the end of the day, the Browns defense is good at home. They're not as good on the road. They give up about 8 points, they give up about 10 points more on the road than they do at home this year. They have the best defense points allowed at home in the league, but obviously that's not going to help them today. Broncos, they're going to ride them high again, and obviously give a lot of credit to them and what they have put together. So I'm going to go with the Broncos. My pick, my game of the week should be an interesting matchup, and the final score, 26-17.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go to the Sunday night matchup, see what my Ravens are up to. Obviously, right now, if the regular season ended, they would have home field advantage. It would be the Ravens at number one over the Chiefs. But they have a critical matchup here going out west to play in Inglewood against a Chargers team that's very, very much going to be desperate. Obviously, one of my dummies of the week was the head coach, and he deserved it. Carissa Thompson deserved it too, and I'm seeing her on TV right now talking. But anyway, critical matchup here for the Chargers. The Chargers season could be determined if they're even going to make a move here, because right now they're in last place in their division, and this is a game that they desperately need. But they're playing one of the best teams in the league this year, and that's going to be very difficult to do. Ravens are on a roll, need this game now that they're in first place in the conference. So, critical matchup for both teams, one trying to stay in first place and one trying to keep their season afloat. So, big matchup. Go ahead.
All right, well, what do we have, including this one? Three games left?
Yeah, 2 games after this.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is one, yeah. I mean, obviously, the Ravens are trying to hold on to first place in the conference, so it's a big game for them. But the Chargers are, dude, the most critical thing about this game for them is whether and how long their coach is going to last. You know, if they get blown out, maybe he's going to be canned after this week. Who knows? But I mean, the team itself, they're not good. I thought they'd be at least a little bit better. I didn't think they'd be an amazing team, but I mean, they're the Chargers. Same team every year. You know, they lose close games constantly. And once again, last week they had a close game against the Packers, and Jordan Love actually had a huge game. He had another big one on Thursday when we, you know, on Thanksgiving. But I mean, he tore them up, and they blew another close one. They even had a chance to win it, and had a big drop from Quentin Johnson at the end of the game. So, I mean, they're just a joke of a franchise. This is them. This is who they are. They lose close games constantly. They constantly underperform, and now they're going up against possibly the best team in the conference. Well, you know, there's a couple teams that could lay claim for that, but one of them, I don't even think this is gonna be a close one, man. I think the Ravens. This is gonna be one of those games where the Ravens just blow someone out. So I'm gonna say final score 41-24.
Yeah, this could be interesting. I mean, the Chargers are a desperate team, but at this point in the year, they're not a good defense. I mentioned that on the look back on Wednesday. Their defense is not very good. They give up the worst QBR of any team. Brandon Staley is the defensive-minded coach who hasn't gotten it done this year. And, you know, at this point, he could be, you're absolutely right. He could be coaching for his job. He could potentially. They may make a move, especially if they get blown, if their doors get blown off tonight. And it's very capable. I mean, the Ravens, they're ready to turn that corner and be that team that nobody wants to face in this conference. And if everything goes well, then obviously Lamar would be in the driver's seat for a potential league MVP. It would be a second, obviously be a second time if that happens. So this is a critical matchup for both teams. And obviously, the Ravens, they want to keep it going. But like I said, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. But I'm going to say that the Chargers will make it interesting. But I agree with you. I just think the Ravens are going to be too much. It's going to be just too much for them. I think the Ravens are rolling and they're going to find a way here. So I'm going to go with my Ravens here on the road with the final score 37 to 27.
Okay.
All right, now, obviously, this is not our lock or the game of the week, but this could be the game of the day. And obviously, two teams that know each other and will probably determine who will win the AFC South. Obviously, Jacksonville was the sexy pick going into the season, and they're playing up to their potential. They've been a very good team this year. But unfortunately, they lost to this team that's become the biggest surprise team in the league this year, the Houston Texans, with one of the best rookie quarterbacks, rookie sensation CJ Stroud. They met in week three, and it didn't go well for the Jags. It fell 37 to 17 at home. Not good. Now they're on the road today in a critical matchup. All red. You know, the Texans wearing all red today. So interesting matchup. Basically, even though it seems kind of preposterous with still a month and a half of football to go, this is basically the AFC South Championship in a nutshell. Whoever wins this game today has the keys to winning this division. So a very, very important matchup for both teams here today. It's also Kwame and John's intriguing and fantasy matchups of the week. Go ahead.
All right, well, we're down to the last two games, and these are the two good ones. And thankfully, haven't wasted time on the garbage game, so we actually have time to like actually talk about these ones. So yeah, when you look at the numbers and everything, this is a tough one to call, man. I mean, Jacksonville, they're a good team. They are a good team, but you know they're not without their problems, and they kind of are an up and down team. Sometimes they look great and then sometimes they don't. And even when they don't, sometimes they still squeak out the victory. And Houston, though, you know, they've been on a tear. And I've been saying all along, I said after the draft, when everyone was trashing them, that because they traded up for Will Anderson and gave up a first round pick, people were saying, oh, who was it? Arizona, I think they traded with. They're like, oh, Arizona's going to have the first two picks in the draft next year. I'm like, no, they're not. I've been saying all along, Houston to me was a 7-9 win team. They've actually outplayed my expectations so far. But I've said CJ Stroud was going to be the offensive rookie of the year. I said Will Anderson. That dude, they got plenty of draft picks thanks to that Deshaun Watson trade. So you may as well go get your guy. And I had them as one of my draft winners, and they proved me right. I said too, Tank Dell was going to be a really good receiver for him. They've just exceeded even my expectations, and I've probably had some of the most positive expectations out of anybody. But yeah, Jacksonville though, they're 5-0 on the road this year. They're playing on the road, so you look at that. I mean, they do play well, but beyond that, a lot of the stats go against them when you look at it. Their defense is ranked in near the bottom of the NFL. They're allowing 254.4 pass yards per game. You look at CJ Stroud. Obviously, he's the leader for Rookie of the Year. Back in week three, when Houston crushed Jacksonville, Stroud went for 280 yards and two touchdowns. On the season, he's sitting at 2,962 yards, which is the fourth most ever for a quarterback in his first 10 starts. And he's got three straight games of 300 yards passing. So, I mean, not only is he playing well all year, but this team's starting to get really catch fire. And then you look at Houston, also, like I said, they got the three-game winning streak, but they also have a lot of history against Jacksonville that goes in their favor. They've won 10 out of the last 11 games against Jacksonville, and they've won 21 of the last 26 against Jacksonville. So not only is Houston on fire right now, but they've got Jacksonville's number. So all that said, I think this is going to be a shootout. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big game. After losing week three, after losing last week, I do think Jacksonville is going to come out fired up, and I do think Trevor Lawrence is going to be playing at the top of his game. But I just think Houston has that momentum going right now, and I think CJ Stroud is just playing out of his mind. So I'm going with Houston here in a shootout, 37-36.
You got Houston winning.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is going to be interesting. These are two teams. One of these two is going to win the division. We all thought it was going to be Jacksonville going away, but Houston has been the most surprising team this year. They look like a team that's going to make the postseason and a team that could actually do something when they get there. But CJ Stroud has obviously played by far exceeded expectations. Remember, there's been 11 rookie quarterbacks that have started a game this year. Think about it. Of the 49 quarterbacks who have started, 11 of them are first-year guys, but he's been obviously the best first-year guy by far. And like I said, Trevor Lawrence has had a great year to this point, or a decent year, but he struggled against Houston. And you do bring up a lot of good numbers. Houston has had Jacksonville's number over the last 30 times they've met. And that's very, very critical. But remember, Jacksonville, they're built to be a contender. And Dougie P, even though, yeah, he's an overachieving coach, he's normally more outcoached than we would outcoach anybody else. This is interesting because, like I said, D'Amico Ryans is obviously a guy that's ready to make a move and be that guy that could very well, in the future, challenge the upper echelon of head coaches in the next few years if he keeps this up. Because it's obvious that he's built to be one of the top coaches in this game. But he's still rookie like CJ Stroud. There's a lot of youth on this Texans team, which is good and also not good because experience, as you know, when you get to the postseason, experience matters. These younger teams, they get to the postseason and they're just not as good compared to the veteran counterparts. Veterans find a way, and that's the problem. There's not really a veteran voice on this Houston team that down the road is going to help them, especially come postseason time. So, at this point, I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's going to win this game. I don't know if it's going to be a shootout particularly, but I think it's going to be a battle. I think it's going to be a battle, but I'm going to go with the Jacksonville to get the win and put their stamp on this division. So Jacksonville gets their revenge on the road, just like the way they got Houston got them early. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville and the final score 33-27.
Okay.
All right, now we get to our big one, the big matchup here later in the afternoon. I don't know if Nance and Romo are calling this game. They might. We'll see. Obviously, critical matchup. The Kelly Greens are back for the Eagles. It's their second time using that color again. It was successful against Miami on a Sunday night earlier this year. We'll see what happens here. Buffalo's coming off a big win, a critical win last week, but this is a team that's not been in the best situation before meeting the beat down the Jets. They were losers of three of the last four games. So things are not going as great as they could, but this is a critical matchup with two of the best quarterbacks in the game today. Jalen Hurts, who continues to prove everybody he's one of the best, the elite quarterback that he is, and Josh Allen, who thinks he's an elite quarterback, but still kind of lacks in that situation. But these are also two of the most turnover-prone quarterbacks this season, shockingly. But basically, it's a battle of who doesn't turn the ball over the most. And this should be interesting, but a critical matchup. And for the Eagles, this is a game, obviously this is a hard schedule game. This is a game they better not overlook, let's be honest, because of what's coming up soon. So, big matchup here this afternoon. Go ahead. Late in the afternoon.
All right. Well, back a couple weeks ago, I told you all we need to do is it was after the Cowboys game, the first game of the stretch. It was a 6-game stretch. I said after that game, all we had to do was go 3-2. Well, we won last week. All we got to do now is go 2-2 in these next four, and we pretty much have it, the number one seed locked up, unless one of these other three teams wins out, which none of them are going to do. Even then, the best they could do is tie. Nonetheless, yeah, like you said, we're back to the Kelly Green today. I wish we'd go back to that for good, but, you know, maybe one day, maybe Jeffrey Lurie will hear the fans cry and go with it. And one thing you didn't mention, you got to give some props to, is Brandon Graham. He's going to set the team record today by playing his 189th career game for the Eagles. And when you talk about Graham, man, you're talking about a guy back in 2010. I think we were talking football somewhat back then. I think
that's when we first met, if I remember. When we first met, I think.
Yeah, I think that was 2010 was the year, I think. Yeah, I think that was when we were still working together. But
yeah.
Yeah, but back then, man, I mean, everybody trashed that pick. You know, we traded up. Everybody thought we got rid of Brian Dawkins, and everyone thought we were going to grab
Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, and then when we drafted Brandon Graham, the defensive end, you know, nobody likes the defensive lineman, especially back then, but Andy Reid did. And he was trash for a long time, and the Seahawks won a Super Bowl with Earl Thomas, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, Earl Thomas. Well, you know what? We've won a Super Bowl with Brandon Graham. We've made another Super Bowl with Brandon Graham. And you know what? Brandon Graham's still playing, and he's playing at a decent level yet. He made the Pro Bowl last year. And where's Earl Thomas? He's sitting on his ass. So, hey.
Yeah, injuries slowed him down, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you know what? Also old age. So, either way, got to give a shout-out to Brandon Graham today, man. But beyond that, when you look at this game, yeah, you look at last week with Buffalo, like, you know, Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator, the Ken Dorsey, before last week's game. And they were rejuvenated, man. Josh Allen had the energy that he normally plays with back. And when you look at Josh Allen, man, that's the guy, obviously that's their whole offense. That's the guy we got to stop. He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns with 22. But he's also turnover prone. He leads the NFL in interceptions with 12. And like you said, Jalen Hurts has had some concerning turnover issue this year too. But But man, Josh Allen, that's what's been killing this team is him turning the ball over. And then when you look at one thing from last week too, is well, actually, no, before I say that, we look at the Eagles' defense. Buffalo isn't much of a running team, but the Eagles do have the number one rush defense in the NFL, but they're also tied for third in the NFL in pressures. And while our pass defense has been up and down, it's got talent. Our secondary has talent, and they're healthy again. Bradley Roby, it seems to have brought back some stability to the slot position. What we need to do with this game, we don't have to worry about the running game, other than Allen running the ball with his legs. We need to get pressure on Allen and cause him to turn the ball over. The Bills will move the ball. They'll get some points, but if we can get some turnovers, I think, and we pressure the quarterback, I think that's really it. I think our offensive line should dominate on the other side of the ball, and we can do whatever we want. But one thing to keep an eye on, though, is Stephon Diggs last week at 27 yards receiving. A.J. Brown had 8. These are two guys that kind of, well, Diggs especially, but even Brown lately, they're starting to get a diva reputation. And I expect both teams to try to feed those receivers today. So I'm looking out for both of them to have big games. But either way, I'm going with the Eagles here, man. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tight. But the Eagles pull it off 36-30.
Well, how much time do I have left?
3.5 minutes.
All right, I'll do it quickly. Obviously, this is a critical matchup, but one thing you didn't bring up is there's two things the Eagles cannot afford to be in this situation. One, better not be a letdown game because of a big victory against your former head coach on the road on a Monday night. And two, this can't be a trap game because the next 2 weeks you have the 49ers and the Cowboys, and that will obviously determine if you get the one seed or not.
Yeah, that's what I
And
was worried
obviously,
about.
there's a lot to put through. This Bills team is a desperate team. They want to make the playoff. They still have a chance to win the division, even though that's going to be a long shot. It's interesting. I mean, I think, well, number one, as much as I respect the Kelly Green, I don't want it to return. Where's the success in the past? It's more underachieving than success when you look at the Kelly Green. It's a great history, but it's not a great result history. I mean, think about it. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be an interesting matchup. It'll be a close one for a while. I think there'll be scoring, and obviously, I look at Josh Allen. He is a very turnover-prone quarterback. He is the most turnover-prone quarterback in the league this year, and that's something you have to think about. 12 interceptions and 6 fumbles lost. So you can't put into perspective of what they've done to this point. So at the end of the day, I feel like the Eagles will get pressure and they will make things difficult for Josh Allen at times, though I think they'll score too. At the end of the day, the Eagles, they find a way anyway. They find a way. They just find a way. And they're going to again today. Jalen Hurts will have a big game. So, A.J. Brown will have a big game too. So, Eagles will win, become the first team with double-digit victories this year, 10, and the final score, 33 to 26.
Okay.
I'll give them two more points, the Bills, because I think they'll do a little better. But 33-26 is my result, Eagles. So,
Okay, yeah,
that's all we
that's
have.
the one thing I forgot to mention, man, was I am worried about this being a trap game today, but I think
A
the
letdown
Eagles,
and a trap game. A
yeah.
letdown and a trap game just because of what happened last week and looking forward to the next 2 weeks. So we'll see what happens here today. That's all we have. Join us for the look back on Wednesday, a critical look back as we're a few more weeks away from our second live show. Our second live show's coming in a few more weeks. But obviously, one more thing is, who do you trust? That's coming back. We're going to look at the contenders and who do you trust? That's on Wednesday's look back. So that's all we have for this week and all the goodies that we always bring to you. So that's all we have. Enjoy the Sunday and we'll see if your team does well. See you Wednesday.
Yeah, man.